City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listen to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 337. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Cheetah Rivera.
You are Cheetah, here in my humble abode.
No, I'm Mitchell
Fain.
Eating
Halloween candy.
I did. I just scarfed down an Almond Joy.
Love an Almond Joy.
Oh, so good.
Second only to a Mounds. Then you just eat a nut by yourself.
The way you just said Mounds and nut made my stomach turn a little bit.
Yeah.
It grossed me out a little bit.
I thought it'd make you hard.
No,
that was really what I was going for.
It didn't work.
I have to say that, you know, Halloween has come and gone. Daylight savings we are into.
Yes.
And I was so profoundly sad that I had two trick-or-treaters. I cannot even tell you. We stayed
in total?
In total. And they were one doorbell. One doorbell, two kids. That's it. People are getting murdered on our street. That's why nobody's coming here. I don't know what's going on.
I think our street is sort of hidden. That's part of the problem.
But there's
it?
So many kids on the street. And what I hear now is
I know,
the kids
I see them all
go to like malls. And they pick one street and they go to that one street. And so I want us to become that street. We're going to have to start a campaign for the Halloweeners.
I know. It's weird though because half the street is houses and then the other half is apartment buildings.
Yeah. But there are a lot of single family homes, you would think. And
yeah,
we have a lot of kids who play out here. So
it's got trees. It's such a Halloween looking street, right?
Yeah. I totally thought we would have trick-or-treaters. We went out. We bought the Kit Kat. We had the good candy, like the Reese's, the Almond Joys,
well, these kids
the
missed
Kit
out.
Kats.
What's weird, you know, it always strikes me at Halloween time. Like, you know, I grew up in a tiny little town, right?
Yeah.
So like we didn't even have our parents go with us.
Oh, yeah.
Trick-or-treating.
No.
You know,
well, I did when I was really little, but.
Well, obviously, yeah.
I had a brother who was 7 years older than me, so he would kind of take me, you know, some.
And so, like, you know, trick-or-treating was such a, like a just kids gone wild zone. It's like the scene from Meet Me in St. Louis where they all go trick-or-treating. It's like some bizarre bonfire where we'd have set furniture on fire in the middle of the street. But it always makes me sad for city kids.
Yeah.
They have to find an alternative.
Well, my friend George, she was taking little Quinn, who's one, down to Halsted Street to, like, go to the gay parade and you know, trick-or-treat down there. But it was like, I don't know, like, even our friends' kids didn't come by. And I was really sad. So we were sitting on the couch. We decided to do a marathon of Dexter. We thought, well, watch a serial killer play on a television show on Halloween. And I'm really loving it this year. And we were sitting there watching it, and I was saying to Kelly, I was like, I'm so sad. Seriously, we're only going to get two trick-or-treaters? And she was like, I don't know, honey. It's still early, and then it's like 9 o'clock. And I said, we're only going to get two trick-or-treaters. I am so bummed. And then Kelly goes, why don't I make you a cup of tea? And I was like, that would be nice. And Kelly goes back to the kitchen, and all of a sudden, the doorbell rings. And I'm like,
hooray.
Oh, my God. So I grab my little plastic pumpkin, you know, little bowl that's filled with trick-or-treat candy, and I go to the front door, and I've kind of dimmed the light at that point, and I'm like, oh my God, this person looks really big and scary. And I open the door, and it's my girlfriend. She's gone out the back door. She's come around to the front. Kelly has a coat over her head and her scarf pulled up under her nose with like some glasses on. And it was hilarious.
You didn't even hear her go out?
I didn't hear her go out. I was
That's really funny.
It was so funny. She scared the shit out of me.
Well, luckily it was the front door because just today, this is like Amy and Mitchell house news. I wish you could have seen me today. I was leaving the house. I was running late.
Yep.
And I was leaving the house and, you know, I was like, close the door with one hand and have my keys in the other hand that I'm sort of finding the right key to, because it's a deadbolt, not, you know. And so I have my keys in my hand. I close the door. And when I close the door, the doorknob came off in my hand. And I swear to God, I thought that there was something, like it was candid camera, because I was then completely paralyzed as to what to do. Because I thought, oh God, I have to go. So then I thought, oh, I'll call and say I'm going to be late. And then I was like, no, maybe it just goes back in.
Yeah.
So then I'm standing there trying to get this doorknob in, and it's not going in. And then I was like, well, I can't leave because I can't leave the door unlocked. And then I realized I could actually lock the door.
Because it's got a deadbolt.
Because it's a deadbolt, and the door was closed enough, because there was no way to actually pull the door closed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if it hadn't closed all the way,
I
would have had to close it and then go out the front door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, it was like a comedy with the doors in the house. It was hilarious.
Very, very fun. Well, tell me a little bit more about, before we leave Halloween and talk about this week, because there's so much big stuff happening, especially in D.C. But tell me a little more about Halloween. You were downtown and you had your birthday right before. So
I
your
did.
Halloween week is always kind of the high holiday.
It is the high holiday.
The Mitchell high holiday.
With the Midnight Circus, people in Chicago know what it is. We perform on Daly Plaza every year for Halloween.
Downtown.
We do a Halloween circus. It's like a free circus in the middle of the city.
Because Mayor Daly loves the Halloween.
He does, and he came down. He was so sweet. He was actually really cute. He brought his grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff and Julie Jenkins, who are the Midnight Circus, had their son Max, who was doing a little bit in the show. This is so fucking cute. I can't even stand it.
How old is this kid now?
Max is 4.
Yeah.
And Mayor Daly's grandson, I think, is like 5.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just backstage,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't actually know who this kid was. He was dressed as the one of the monsters from Wild Thing, mm-hmm. Where the Wild Things Are,
mm-hmm.
and Max was dressed as his father, because they do an act in the show where mm-hmm. I introduce Jeff, but mm-hmm. Max comes out dressed as his dad, and I do a little act in the show. It's ridiculous cute. Anyway, so these two little boys, I think his name was Jack, anyway, they became immediate friends.
Aww.
And I was like, who's that kid? And she was like, that's the mayor's grandson. And so they were adorable. So then the mayor comes and he welcomes us. It's like an official sort of like mm-hmm. welcoming us down to the plaza. And then he sits and watches the show.
Yeah.
So Jeff and Julie thought it would be cute to do the act mm-hmm. with Max. So Jeff and Julie's son is so painfully cartoon cute. It's ridiculous with his blonde hair and his, mm-hmm. anyway, he's gorgeous. So in the middle of the act, you know, it's being filmed for television and all this mm-hmm. other stuff. Jeff and Max are doing their act and it's so cute. And, at one point, he stops and stops the bit, and then waves at the mayor.
Uh-huh.
But really, what he was really doing was waving at the kid he had just met.
Right, like, but everybody in the audience thought
right, not because he was doing a
mayor.
Bit, but because he's 4, and suddenly he looked over and there was that kid
and
he had just
been.
Bud. So he just sort of stopped and waved, and it literally brought down the house because it looked like Max stopped and did a quick improv bit to the mayor.
That's so funny.
It was. I mean, you couldn't stage that better.
Right, right, right.
It was. I mean, literally, people the like. The 800 people that were there going, aw, was
right.
so funny. It was great. But this is what was great. It was my birthday. I'm 21, which is so fun.
It's so cute.
It's so cute. no, I'm 43. So I had my birthday on Thursday, but we had 3 shows.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to have 4, but we got rained out on the last one. We got rained out a lot this week. It sucked.
You had a lot of rain.
Yeah, it sucked. A lot of sitting around and wanting to do the show, but it's way more fun to do the show than it is to sit around and
yeah,
costume.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Anyway, long story short, I used to be a camp counselor at a really intense circus camp. And my first year there was a kid, he was 15, and he was just the most beautiful, most incredibly effeminate young boy ever, who also happens to be probably the best athlete any of us will ever meet. I mean,
wow.
This kid has skills.
And how old is he now?
Now he's 22.
Okay.
In the ensuing year, and anyway, he came out to me when he was 14.
Ah. And, I think you've told that story
on one of the shows.
Yeah.
So he came out to me, and we stayed really good friends, although he went to the Cirque school, the L'École Nationale du Cirque.
That's Cirque
du Soleil. Yeah. And has been working steadily as a circus performer in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And then he married his husband
uh-huh.
in California.
Uh-huh.
And then they moved back to England where the boyfriend lives. And so they live in England. So I have not seen him, his name's Brett, since he was like 18 years old.
Okay.
So it's been like 4 years. And so he decided to come visit us. And while he was here, he said to Jeff and Julie, can I do my act? And they were like, Brett, we'd love you to, but A, we can't afford you, because he's like big time now. You know, circus mm-hmm. performers get a lot of money for the kind of act he does. And
what kind of act does he do?
He does an aerial hoop. It's called a lira. It's a metal ring. Okay. And it hangs.
Okay.
And then you do acrobatics around it
in the air. Around it and in it, yeah.
And so this kid's now like 6 feet tall, and he's so unbelievably bendy. Like, I've never seen a man with a bigger, like a wider stretch. Like, he can literally stand with one foot on the ground, the other leg at his head, and then pull his leg past his head.
Wow.
And then he does that on the hoop.
Wow.
So then he was so generous because Jeff and Julia said, we love you and we're so glad you're visiting, but we can't afford you and it's not in the budget to pay another performer. You know, it's very budgeted. And he was like, no, I'm not looking for money. I want to donate. I want to, like, just do it because I love you guys and I miss you guys and you taught me how to be a circus performer. And anyway, he was so, it was just heartbreaking because I love him so much because I haven't seen him in so many years. I've known him since he was a little boy. And he's so out and queer and, like, sort of outrageous, and he has sort of this fabulous, like, London hipster style.
I was about to say, he's got that Euro kind of thing.
Fingernails are black, and he's got cool hair, and he's got this gorgeous circus body, and so long and lean. And his act, I mean, was jaw-dropping. I mean, we got more emails about his act this week, and people literally emailing us saying, we're coming back on Saturday. Is that guy going to perform? Like, literally, he ended up doing his act, like, three times on the last day. Which is an incredible thing to ask someone to do.
Yeah.
Because it's difficult. It lasts 6 minutes, but it's like, for the rest of us, it would be like running a marathon.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was just really beautiful to see him being so, like, out and married and queer and happy and successful, and to see, and he queers it up in his act too. And, like, he just makes no pretenses of, he doesn't try to butch it up or, like, pretend to be something he's not. And to watch audiences,
I would love to see him. We gotta find a YouTube clip of him or something.
He's just absolutely beautiful. His name's Brett Pfister, and he's just...
Now, was he in town because isn't Cirque du Soleil doing auditions, or...?
No. He has contracts for years. He just had some vacation time, and he just decided to fly from England and come visit us because, you know, the cast of our show is so many of his friends that he grew up with, you know? And so he just decided to come, and we hadn't seen him in so long, and it was...
It's like the birth of this whole new generation. It's so gorgeous. Exciting, right?
It's exciting. So we went out to dinner on my birthday. That was my birthday present to myself, was going out to dinner with Brett. I took Brett out to dinner. Actually, you know what? As it turned out, he took me out to dinner.
How sweet is that?
So sweet. I'm old enough to be his dad.
Not only was he putting his foot in his leg over his head. His left ear.
Right.
But he also
took me out to dinner. It was beautiful because we got to catch up and we talked about his relationship and we talked about how they met and we talked about his
family. Have you met his partner?
I never have. Several friends of mine have. His husband. Several friends of mine have and say that he's absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
Which makes me happy. He's a photographer. He's a photographer and... Also, he works for Bryan Adams. You know Bryan Adams, remember?
Like the singer?
Yeah, the singer.
Yes.
Summer of 69.
Yeah. It was one of my first concerts. I saw Bryan Adams with Survivor.
So Bryan Adams
in my early concerting
days.
Is a
photographer now in London.
Wow.
And Brett's husband, besides being a photographer on his own, works for Bryan Adams.
I wonder if he does this thing while he sings, Have You Ever Really... Really, really ever loved a woman?
Have you really?
Have you ever really, 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 really
ever loved? He's so queer friendly, and Brett says like 80% of his staff is queer, and he loves him, that he's the most generous, sweet. Isn't that cool?
Canadian,
so there you go.
The Canadians. Big shout out to the Canadians. Amy Kelly, our Windy City Gay Idol, was hanging out with Deb Pierce in Toronto, and they know how to do Halloween.
Yeah,
there's nothing more fun than downtown Toronto for Halloween, so... Wish I had been able to join you ladies, but love that you emailed me, or actually phone, texted, messaged me some photos. And speaking of the lesbians, this Wednesday, so tomorrow night, they at the White House, Sharon Isbin, she is a classical guitarist, and she's coming to the Harris Theater to perform solo here in March, but she is performing at the White House for the Obamas. Wednesday night at this function. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but and they are going to be airing. You can actually watch live coverage of it if anybody wants to see her. She's a classical guitarist, and it's going to be, you know, it's something for the First Lady Michelle Obama's music series. And Sharon Isbin has won a lot of Grammys, but I didn't know who she was. She's going to be there, and Joshua Bell, who many people know who he is. And other performers, but it's really cool. They're going to stream the performance live on November 4th at whitehouse.gov. So it's just a really cool way to support a queer, openly lesbian artist who is one of the preeminent guitarists, classical guitarists of our time. So super, super cool because she's that out cool. and proud. And I just want to give her a shout out. And people might want to start looking at getting tickets for her in March when she's here for One Night Only at the Harris, which I just love that facility. So it's,
I hope I'm still here. I haven't decided when I'm going away again.
I know.
I think I'm going to Alaska this time.
Ooh, lots of lesbians in Alaska.
Are there?
Yes. It's a very whale-watching...
Will they love me?
...lesbian kind of place. Well, yeah, because you're basically a lesbian.
I am basically a lesbian.
You're basically a lesbian where I'm basically a gay man. And hey, also, Cubs fans, which, you know, nobody's a bigger Cubs fan than my good friend Di Lish, who is our editor for the podcast.
Is she a big Cubs fan?
Oh, good Lord. Oh, good Lord. Has the, like, flag out the door.
Isn't that like a masochistic...
It
hobby.
Kind of is, you know, but Di, she's just a lover, not a fighter. She's a diehard. It's true. That's very cute. But, hey, you know, they have new owners. These are the Ricketts family now as the new owners of the Cubs. And it appears that one of the Ricketts family members is Laura Ricketts, who's a lesbian. So she is now, Laura Ricketts is now the first out individual to own a professional sports team. So this is really a really big thing. You know, she's a Chicagoan. She lives here. She's a board member of Lambda Legal. So she's obviously fighting for gay rights. She said, and this story is on WindyCityMediaGroup.com if you want to check this out. But how cool is that, that the Cubs have a lesbian owner? She said, I came out to my family in the in early to mid-30s, and I think for a long time I wasn't ready, really out to myself growing up in Omaha. She grew up in a Catholic conservative family. And she just says, you know, her family was all immediately supportive, and she's been really fortunate in that regard. So, you know, they really want the Cubs to win the World Series. This is the family that said that's their dream, that's their quest, that's what they're not going to stop till it happens. And
wow.
So it's very exciting. It was they bought the team. Let's see. Buying the team Wrigley Field and a share in Comcast Sportsnet Chicago for $845 million from the Tribune Corporation. So, ladies, she's also a very wealthy lesbian.
I was just gonna say.
She's also a very wealthy lesbian.
Holy
so
schmoly.
That is a brand new news story. But hey, we got a big news story to talk about with Obama. It's not in our news that Kirk and I recorded, but Kirk and I are gonna tell you what else is going on in the news. Also, Sin and Jack are back with By the Way. And
cool.
Then Mitchell and I'll be back to talk about some changes are coming to
Main
the
equality,
Capitol
maybe?
Hill.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll find
see.
Out maybe tomorrow.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite, and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
President Obama will end the long-standing policy at Health and Human Services that banned immigration by people with HIV. He also signed a bill to reauthorize the Ryan White program to help people with HIV and low incomes.
Trans man Ryan Salins is slated to speak at Kansas State University after 50 students signed a petition asking him to come to the campus in Salina. The university decided not to give $1,000 to fund Salinas' appearance. The Student Governing Association settled on $600. Students raised the additional $400.
U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York has said that she would support changing the 1964 Civil Rights Act to include gays and lesbians. Although no such amendment has been proposed in Congress, she said that such a measure would certainly be worth fighting for. Gillibrand, who occupies the seat formerly held by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, has been outspoken on gay rights since becoming senator almost a year ago.
In Texas, Ernesto Ivan Martinez has been arrested in the murder of Brownsville Museum of Fine Arts executive director Barry Horn, who was openly gay. Martinez, who had lived with Horn for months, allegedly stabbed Horn several times and fled in the victim's car. One of Horn's co-workers said that Horn and Martinez, who reportedly had a background filled with foster homes and abuse, had more of a mentor-mentee relationship and were not lovers.
In Atlanta, activists have criticized the choice of community liaison policewoman Danny Lee Harris to lead the city's Pride Parade because she defended a police gay bar raid. In the September raid, police allegedly held patrons on the floor, used anti-gay slurs, and arrested bar employees for improper permits. Harris would be the festival's first grand marshal who is intersex.
Marcus Hernandez, a longtime leather columnist for the Bay Area Reporter, died on October 8th at Pacifica Nursing and Rehab Center at the age of 77 from complications from diabetes and arteriosclerosis. Hernandez wrote under the pen name Mr. Marcus.
Spencer Yu, a Los Angeles attorney and member of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation's board, died October 24th in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, during a cruise. Yu, who was only 40, suffered cardiac arrest. Yu's surviving partner, Dan Neeson, asked that donations be made to GLAAD's Spencer Yu Memorial Fund in lieu of flowers.
In world news, in Australia, trans woman Robin Stott has become part of the conservative Edge Hill Ladies Bowls Club in Queensland. Stott is in the process of becoming a woman and has been recognized as a female bowler at the club. Stott said that members had been supportive and tolerant.
In England, a ban on gay and bisexual men giving blood is currently being reviewed. The government's advisory committee on the safety of blood, tissues, and organs is looking into the policy. The committee will publish its findings next year, and the ban could be lifted depending upon the results.
In entertainment news, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin's grandbaby daddy, Levi Johnston, plans to show all the goods in next month's Playgirl. Johnston has been working out 6 days a week for the photo shoot.
Actor Bronson Pinchot of TV's Perfect Strangers said that Tom Cruise made a lot of homophobic jokes while on the set of the 80s film Risky Business. He was tense and made constant unrelated homophobic comments like, "You want some ice cream in case there are no gay people there?" There was no basis for it. It was like, "It's a nice day. I'm glad there are no gay people standing here." Very, very strange.
A movie about a love affair between two men and a violent neo-Nazi group took top honors at the Rome Film Festival. Brotherhood director Niccolo Donato's debut explores the affair between recruit Lars and mentor Jimmy. Donato, 35, said the two men become embroiled in a secret love affair, but such forbidden love cannot go unpunished in fascist circles. However, despite all the rules forbidding it, the love and sexual attraction between the two men is so strong that they cannot abandon their affair.
On Howard Stern's SiriusXM show, Rosie O'Donnell spoke out on rumors that Oprah is a lesbian. When asked why the gay rumors won't go away, O'Donnell said, "I don't know. I think she's never been married and she's exceptionally close to Gail. When they did that road trip, that's as gay as it gets. And I don't mean it to be an insult either. I'm just saying, listen, if you ask me, that's the couple."
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, I'm Finn.
And I'm Jack, and we're putting the B in the big A alphabet with a he said, she said conversation about today's question.
So, Jack, I have to know, when did you know you were bi?
That's a very good question. The levels of my sexuality have been like a teeter-totter for most of my life. When I was younger, I knew I liked girls, but I also had an eye on guys. Mm-hmm. It was very
like
peculiar.
How young?
I would say like grade school, middle school. And then in high school, I dated women, and in college, I dated women, and then I started dating guys, then I went back to dating women for a little bit, then I dated guys exclusively, and then I went back to dating women a little bit, and guys. So it was a very interesting time in my life. I felt like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I sort it out? I didn't know anybody else who had bi tendencies. Mm-hmm. That was normal, sane.
No, or who didn't just pick a partner and then they're that, like,
exactly.
Straight or gay.
Yeah.
Right.
So when I met some friends, they both had bi tendencies, and then all the pieces fell into place, and I'm like, this is where I was meant to be.
So it just kind of made sense. You felt more at home with it?
Exactly. How about yourself?
Wait. I'm not done with you.
Oh, I got off the hook.
No, nice try, buddy. Wait, so you're good with it now? You're happy? Like, you're glad that you're bi and not?
Yeah. I'm totally okay with it. I understand it. I'm at peace with it. And it's just another part of me.
Cool. So when did I know I was bi? It's funny. I've always been a lover.
Not a fighter?
No, well, that too sometimes, but just don't piss me off, we'll be fine. But it wasn't until I started working for a queer company that I labeled myself as bi, and it wasn't until my first girlfriend that I thought back throughout my history of my tendencies. And I started thinking, like, yeah, I did used to make out with a girl on the back of the bus every day in kindergarten.
That's early. Like,
you know? So I was like, oh, you know, I never really thought about that. And, oh, yeah, I did sleep with a few girls in college. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, at the time, it was just, like, free loving and, like, you kind of, you know, like, I didn't think anything about experimenting.
Yeah, good times, yeah.
And, but once I pieced it all together, I noticed that there were definitely women interspersed throughout with all the men. And, but yeah, so I think it was becoming more of a part of the queer community that made me kind of be like, okay, I'm bi, I'm not a straight girl, you know? And I don't know if it was like a, you know, call to arms, like I need to prove myself here kind of a thing. Because before then, I never really found it necessary to identify as anything. And yeah, now I'm happy to have the title because I feel like it totally explains who I am and it means a
it
lot
makes sense to
me.
To you.
It makes sense to me. And anybody who wants to hang with me needs to get it, you know?
Sweet.
So. Yeah. All right, so that's By the Way this week. I'm Sin.
And I'm Jack.
And we'll be back with more B here on the Windy City Queercast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mel Brooks.
Hello, my name is Mel Brooks, and I'd like to tell you a little about my new...
Young Frankenstein, the new Mel Brooks musical.
Wait a minute, I wasn't finished.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, like I was saying, Young Frankenstein is my first...
Tickets for Young Frankenstein, the new Mel Brooks musical, are now on sale.
What's your problem? I'm talking here.
Well, I'm just so excited. Sorry for interrupting. Go ahead, sir.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Now playing through December 13th at the Cadillac Palace Theater. For tickets, call 800-775-2000 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of November 2nd, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. You met him as George Gershwin in George Gershwin Alone, then as Frederick Chopin. Now, Hershey Felder returns to Chicago as the greatest composer of them all, Ludwig von Beethoven in Beethoven, as I knew him, featuring some of the composer's most well-known works. Don't miss Beethoven, as I knew him, playing November 13th through December 20th at Drury Lane Water Tower Place. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com.
Writers Theater presents Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, directed by artistic director Michael Halberstam. Hamlet, Shakespeare's greatest drama, is retold from the perspective of his schoolmates. Experience the original breakout hit from four-time Tony Award winner Tom Stoppard. Tickets are selling quickly. Order yours today by logging on to writerstheater.org.
About Face Theater presents the XYZ Festival of New Works, now through November 7th at venues all over Chicago. Playing now, don't miss the highly anticipated The Flowers by Obie Award-winning playwright Adam Bach, the story of two gay men and their theater company. Get tickets and information for both shows by visiting aboutfacetheater.com. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hi, this is Jason Moore, the director of Avenue Q, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Got his
So, Mitchell, the big news of the week is that things are still happening. Obama is got some fire under him.
Yeah, he did something good.
He's done a couple of things good. He has, you know, there has been this travel ban that has been imposed mm-hmm. for people, HIV-positive individuals coming into the United States. And this ban will be lifted in January. It's now Obama announced that his administration is lifting the travel restrictions into the country for those with HIV/AIDS. It also provides medical care, medication, and support services to about 500,000 mostly poor people. And
is this the Ryan White bill?
This is a part of I don't know if they're the exact same bill. I know Ryan White is also what he I don't know if they're two different bills or if they're the same bill with like an amendment.
Yeah.
But you know, this is a very old ban, and I'm interested. I know that this came up a lot when the gay games were happening.
Right. Right.
And I remember, you know, Tracy Baim, who's the owner of Windy City Media Group, who was one of the co-chairs, talking about, you know, how did they make sure that these athletes coming in from all over the world could get in and could compete.
How did they?
You know, they had some, I don't know what you would call them. I don't know if they're exceptions
like a special exception or something.
Whatever. They,
because it was a sporting
I think
event
a lot of them, yeah, I think a lot of them were allowed to get in. But I'm not really sure what the, you know, it was really, it felt to me, and I think that a lot of, you know, what Obama was talking about, that it really just reinforced a stigma about HIV and AIDS.
It did, especially for a country that, at least, you know, nominally talks about how we're trying to remove the stigma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that the idea that, like, we're, I have a story that can sort of relate to this. You know, I went to Europe last year.
Uh-huh.
And I had never been, and being HIV positive, I had to take my medication with me because it was too difficult to have it shipped over there monthly, so I got it in advance and took it over with me. And then I had this moment where I thought, I don't like to pack my meds in a... I like to keep them in my carry-on so that
so
just in case luggage gets lost. Right.
Yeah, and they're so expensive. And
really expensive and very difficult to... Yeah, so...
And you have to have your specific kind
exactly,
that works for you.
Exactly, and so I always like to... And I thought... I realized I had to do a little research and find out if there were countries that I was going to, like flying in and out of, not so much on the ship, because once mm-hmm. I was on the ship, it didn't matter, but whether or not they had a ban. And then through my research, I realized that there were several countries.
How would they know? Can I ask you that?
Well, I thought like, the only way they would know is if I go
through your stuff
and they were like, what is this medication that you're bringing into the country? Because I had a lot of it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like just a little pill bottle.
Right.
It was literally like 8 bottles of pills or whatever.
Yeah.
So, really it only mattered because we were flying into Germany, and Germany does not have a ban.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. But I had to do a little research, and it was interesting. And I guess I knew this in the back of my head, but I was sort of confronted with the fact that of all the countries that I actually had to fly in and out of, the one country that had a ban was ours. I mean, not against me because I'm a citizen.
Well, there's
but,
only like a dozen, they say.
Yeah, and I didn't, there weren't any that I went to. Like Germany and England were the two places I flew in and out of that mattered. But it was interesting because I suddenly was forced with the idea that I had to think about that,
mm-hmm.
that my HIV status could potentially curtail my
mm-hmm.
employment,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, and it's a big thing too, you know, that continues to be with immigration and the fact that with our partners, if they are not American citizens, you know, when people want to continue to make this a religious conversation, and it's just not a religious conversation, it's a civil rights issue entirely, you know, gay marriage. Or
well,
any
I don't,
of this.
And the thing is, the whole idea, I mean, you know, I'm overstating the obvious, but a religious issue has no place in governmental conversations, in constitutional conversations, because we don't have to care what you think about your religion.
Right.
I don't have to care.
Yep.
I can't abuse you or I wouldn't want to, but I don't have to care what you think.
Yeah.
And that's what bothers me is why are you assuming that I should care that you think Jesus said this? And by the way, Jesus didn't say anything about it. So
exactly.
It's like the Pope. It's like, you know what? Jesus never mentioned the Pope.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's totally
Pope
true.
Pope is not in the Bible.
And what I'm gathering is that these are two different steps that were taken by Obama that were signed into law, you know, that, you know, one is around the Ryan White Act and extending the CARE Act. He signed a fourth reauthorization of the Ryan White CARE Act.
Oh, that's what it was. That's what I had read.
And then this as well, lifting this ban, travel ban. So, you know, it's so interesting because, you know, we've just done so much stuff about Judy Shepard and how much work she did, the hate crimes legislation just happening last week. Now these two other things happening this week. I mean, Obama, and then, repeal, don't ask, don't tell. That's next. Right, one, two,
today,
three.
Tuesday, right? Yep. They're voting in Maine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's their Prop 1 is like Prop 8.
Right.
And it's right now, the gays are behind in the polls.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens in Maine.
Yeah. And some of this may be backlash, you know, the conservatives who don't want to see all this forward momentum happening. But there is some momentum happening on the Hill. And not that I don't care about states' rights. I really, really do. But, I mean, these big federal things we've been waiting so freaking long
to
get.
I'm sick of this conversation. And maybe this is an unpopular opinion. People say, it's really an issue for the states. Suck it. It's not an issue for the states. It's a civil rights. It's a rights issue.
We are the United States of America. How can we all be separatists?
If we waited for individual states to decriminalize interracial marriage, we would still not have interracial marriage.
Yeah.
There was a certain point where quote-unquote activist judges said, yes, I know that 90% of the people polled don't think blacks and whites should marry, but as a judge whose job is to uphold the Constitution and to look at things in a constitutional way about people's rights, they couldn't at that time in good conscience deny people those rights.
Right.
And it's the same fucking situation. If we wait for 50 states to pass this thing with all their various rules and which state recognizes which state and which state doesn't, bullshit. It's time for the federal government to just go get over it.
Yeah. Well, this is why we have leaders, I think, to, you know, hopefully hold us to our highest ideals, you know, as a country.
But that's the thing. It's like,
and unfortunately, when they all are, you know, crooks and...
Right.
And aren't people that I want to hold, and hypocrites, and they're not people that are holding themselves to any ideal, let alone
let's be honest, to an ideal. And this is my point, and I'm not an anti-American. I'm very happy to be an American living in America because change is possible. But let's be honest, like I said about the night when they changed interracial marriage, 90% of our country didn't want
to do it.
So we now look back at that and we think how sad.
Yep.
Right, we don't look back at the halcyon days.
Virginia, I think, is the big case that.
And we don't look at back like they were the halcyon days, and that something has been destroyed. We look back and go, oh, what a shameful thing that our country thought.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not being anti-American, but let's face it: if 90% of or whatever percentage of Americans think marriage is bad, they're wrong, and history will show them to be wrong.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
Right.
And I'm sort of sick of this argument about states' rights. It's just a way to put it off.
Well, and it's a way to slow down the process. Yeah. And, you know, this is why I think, you know, Obama is on a roll. He's got a few things that have passed through. Thank God for the mothers of gay children in Ryan White.
What about that amazing video? Did you see that video of that guy in Maine? Have you seen this?
Oh, no. Tell me.
Oh, my God. If you guys haven't seen it. It's this gentleman, he's in his 80s, and he was speaking at a town hall meeting about the gay marriage issue in Maine. Man, literally in his 80s, and he got up. I don't even know what you'd look under YouTube, but it's on YouTube. And he got up and he made this speech about the issue about gay marriage. And he said, some woman asked him, he was in line to vote last year when they actually passed it, when it said it was okay.
Right.
Which is what they're trying to rescind. But a woman said, do you think that gay marriage is okay? And his response was, what do you think I fought in a war for? So that people didn't have rights? I fought in a war. So he said, I have three sons, all of whom are veterans, all of whom fought in wars, and one of them is gay. I didn't fight in the war in 1942 so that two of my sons could have rights.
Right.
I fought in that war so that all my sons could have the same rights in this glorious country. And if you guys haven't seen it, it is the most if you watch this and don't cry.
Okay, well, email it to us and we'll link
it. I will.
We'll link it on the show notes.
If you haven't, you have to see it. It's it's so moving and it's so matter of fact. It's like, do I believe in the rights of gay people to get married? Absolutely. It's what I fought a war for.
Yeah.
And he's a very frail, this is not like a robust,
yeah.
This is a very frail old man.
And an older guy, you know.
A different generation. That generation that we generally think of as not being on our side, unfortunately. Right. And it's
I think that's not true, you know. I think it's not true. I think that some of the people who don't know what it's like to fight, and I think that there's I think there is this kind of generation that's above us, above you and I, who is apathetic. And then I think there is that generation that are much older, that get it, you know, who have lived through a number of wars. And we've kind of lived through distant wars. I mean, Iraq, Iran, they don't seem like they have anything to do with our social civil liberties. Whereas, you know, for others, they really kind of understand what civil liberties mean. And I mean, people who lived through Vietnam in a different way, Korea in a different way, and World War II in a different way, I think.
But I have friends' parents who are in their 80s, and they love me, and they've known me almost my whole life, and they love me. I'm a part of their family. And they would not vote yes to gay marriage.
Yeah.
As much as they love me, they don't get it. There's a certain, they don't get it. I mean, I'm not saying that's across the boards. I'm just saying that this man defies sort of the stereotype in a way, and makes such an impassioned, beautiful
speech. But it's because
he has
a gay son, right?
It's because he has a gay son.
Because he loves his son. Yeah. And because he has had...
And he loves his country.
And he loves his country. And I think there are people who come to that clear understanding of letting the ignorance fall away, and that it's other.
Yeah.
The otherness. It's slightly, of it when it's close to you.
It's slightly akin to, you know, because of the age I am, so many of my friends are having their second and third kids, and, which is great. And there's all of them are having sort of conflicts with their parents about how to raise their kids. Like, for example, this friends of mine who have two kids, and they're very busy. So their parents came and spent a weekend taking care of their kids. And in that weekend, they took the kids to the McDonald's three times. Which, you know, most people wouldn't think that's weird, but this particular couple, friends of mine, never take their kids to McDonald's. They are just like super duper healthy. They're athletes. They're super duper healthy eating people. It's Jeff and Julie. Anyway, I was going to say because someone out there, parents, and her dad, and Julie's dad's a doctor, by the way. He's a very successful doctor. Anyway, so Jeff and Julie had all these.
Although my grandmother did give me the candy, and it wasn't like it's just because that's what grandparents do.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So like
grandparents indulge.
It's akin. I'm sort of drawing a correlation in that when Jeff and Julie say, "Mom, Dad, don't do that with our kids," they get defensive, right? Because they feel implicated. Like, well, it worked for us because if you say things are changed, or let the ignorance pass away, or let things change, times are different. Then I think sometimes older people who did things a certain way feel implicated by that. Like you're saying you were wrong or bad or guilty of something.
Or before it was bad, now it's moving better, and so it's deficient.
But people, I think oftentimes people don't hear that. And it's the same thing with gay marriage. Like you can say to them, I get that that's what you thought because that's what you were told, but I'm giving you new information. But I think people, it's difficult for people to change their opinion because then they have to admit that they've been on the wrong side of that for 60 years or something. And, you know, it's the same thing with, like, parenting, you know. Like, your parents, our parents go, well, it was good enough when you were a kid.
Yeah.
It's like, well.
My audacity of hope is that Obama will have that happen to him before he leaves office in 8 years. That he will get to the other side of what he says in his book, which is that that he's against gay marriage, and then he is sure that history will prove that he stood on the wrong side of that issue. And I hope that he is on the other side of it by the end of year 8 and doesn't have
that's one of the things
can do what you're saying.
Well, that's one of the things I dislike. Yeah, exactly. I think he could admit it if it happened. And he will. And I don't think, if you actually sat down with Barack Obama and he wasn't the president of the United States, I don't think he is gay marriage. I think
Well, interesting though that he wrote about it in his book. He didn't have to mention it.
Yes, he did, because it's a politically expedient thing to do. If he writes that in a book,
maybe.
It's an absolute. This is the thing where, as much as I love Obama and voted for him,
that there's the spin around all of it.
All of it. He's a politician, calculated. Just like every. But he is just as much a politician as everybody else.
Yep.
He's a politician who's more on our side, meaning not only gays necessarily, but like liberals, than in the past. But he is a politician like everybody else, and that was an absolutely calculated thing to do so that he didn't alienate a huge base of people who are on the fence about stuff like that.
No, I understand. I understand. I just hope that he's there. Because if he were really honest. Because I think the momentum will happen. I think
I'm knocking on something.
My thought is that the momentum will really is going to take fire in the next 8 years. And, you know, Maine's going to be one step on this. And
it would be weird if Maine rescinds this because so much of New England is, although the my home state of Rhode Island, the governor of Rhode Island is a total douche. yes, I said it. I said douche. The governor of Rhode Island is a fucking douchebag, as one would say. Enough or nothing, but he's a fucking douche, which is what you would say in Rhode Island.
You're so cute and butch when you talk like that. I love it.
Well, that's it's so funny. Like that, my
and I kind of have a love affair with your little tongue when you say that. Oh, that's so
funny. It's funny. I have to say my sort of Jewish intellectual effeminate exterior really masks the fact that I'm a Gindaloon from Providence, Rhode Island. I'm not even sure Gindaloon is a word outside of Providence, Rhode Island.
I just like saying Gindaloon. I've never even heard it.
Yeah, you know, like a wise guy, like that kind like of guy. Like a Gindaloon. Yeah, guy with like
you
a kind white...
of turn into Joey Pantalone. You know, yeah, Joey exactly. Pants. You're kind of like Joey Pants.
That's a Gindaloon. That's there everybody. You go. That's Amy, I have to make you understand, that's everybody who I grew up with.
Yeah.
I'm talking wife beaters, thick rope gold chains, heavy,
my friend Vicky Italian. All through Europe would call those boogie chains.
Boogie chains?
We would be all through Greece and places, and she'd go, look at the boogie chain. Boogie chains, and I didn't know what it was, but then I kind of like got it, you know, like the disco or a boogie
Mama
chain.
A Mamalouke, that's another one.
The boogie chain.
This guy's a fucking Gindaloon. The
boogie chain and his dark curly chest hair with his shirt.
I mean, don't get me wrong, they're hot.
Your shirt's too, you know, cut. It's too low.
Too low, too
like
open.
The buttons are too open. Yeah. Look
it's at funny. The boogie chain. I have to say, it did form in a lot of ways. As much as I love the Hubbles of the world, the Waspy boys, there is a part of me that, like, those boys that I grew up with, those, like, Italian, Portuguese boys with just swarthy Gindaloons, did form in some way my idea of what's sexy.
Yeah.
Right?
Isn't that funny? Where is Joey Pants? Joe Pantaleone.
Like, you know who's the perfect Gindaloon? I mean, he plays it because he's obviously a sort of a sensitive, beautiful man. But the guy who used to play Will's boyfriend on Will and Grace.
Oh, yeah. Vince, no, I love him.
That actor.
Yeah.
He.
What is his name?
What is his name? He's wonderful. I can't remember. Joey something? No.
John Joe.
He's lovely, but he that type
he
that
does
guy.
He a lot of Broadway stuff. He's a big
that guy,
actor.
That character. Anyway,
oh, he's so great.
He is he looks epitome. Like all the men that I grew up with in Rhode Island. He's the epitome of like he could play a Gindaloon.
A Gindaloon. This is our Gindaloon episode.
Yes,
I love
Gindaloon
it.
Talk.
Well, he's also hunky, and in our next show, he I don't know if he's a Gindaloon, but he's from the Great Northwest. But
no, I don't think he's a Gindaloon.
The beautiful,
I think he's a
he
god.
Can play it though. The beautiful Cheyenne Jackson is on our next show, and I sat down with Cheyenne and talked to him about the man has so much going on. I don't know how he's not bleary, and he must need three personal assistants. He just has so much going on. He's got a new television show, a new show on Broadway that's getting rave reviews, and new CD. He's got some other announcements we can't talk about
yet.
And
he's got an ass made by God.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, he's going to listen to this.
Yes.
But he does. He's just gorgeous.
The lovely
I once saw him in New York City. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for a friend to get out of a show, and I looked up, and there was Cheyenne Jackson. Yeah. And
it was in Xanadu for people who don't know who we were talking about.
Yeah, this was years before. Actually, this might have even been All Shook Up.
And he was
something.
In All Shook Up, played Elvis type
and,
character.
I remember looking up, and he was there, and I was so mesmerized by how beautiful he was.
He's tall, dark, and handsome.
That I actually sort of, he's going to listen to this and think I'm a crazy person. I followed him down the street a little bit at a total safe distance. I didn't try to get near him or talk to him. But I just wanted to see, like, what does somebody that beautiful do? How do they survive?
How do they walk?
Where do they
Who
go?
Are they in the
what
wild?
Do they eat? You know?
It's like watching an exotic bird.
It was like watching an exotic bird. And then I became so mortified by how creepy and stalker-like that behavior was that I stopped watching him. Yep. But I was like, I just got fascinated. And I saw him walking. I was like, I just got to find out what he does. I did the same thing to Barry Manilow once, but in Boys Town.
For a totally different reason.
In Boys Town. Yeah, for totally different although the young man he was with was very attractive.
Very gorgeous. Yes. Barry Manilow's cool, though.
On Broadway in Belmont.
You're a Fanilow.
I am a Fanilow.
Of the Manilow. He's also coming to Chicago. So
he is? We have to go.
Okay, let's
Have you ever
out.
Seen
no.
Manilow in concert?
Let's go.
I'm a total 70s geek. Brilliant.
We're going to figure it out.
Yes.
We'll suss it out before the next
suss
show.
It out.
We'll suss it out. So Cheyenne Jackson on our next show, and we'll see which way everything goes for Maine.
Come on, New England. Come
through
for
me. Come on, New England.
Come through for me.
What's the word again?
Gindaloons?
The Gindaloons.
Yeah. Come on, Gindaloons.
Come on, Gindaloons.
The Gindaloons aren't in Maine.
That's all right.
They're fishermen.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.